If you're a guest, we have some guests with us. We're so happy you're here. And you get to, if you choose to stay, we hope you do, you get to be in on the ground floor of our next location that God hasn't revealed to us yet. So, you know, we're kind of like the children of Israel right now, just following the cloud. Hope you're okay with that. We have learned to be okay with that. And we do have children's ministry up for through sixth grade. If your boys would like to go, just exit through that door. If not, they can, of course, stay with you. I don't mean to single you out, but I see that you're a guest. Want you to feel welcome and loved. And mostly we want you to encounter God, extend love, and experience life. That's our mission statement. And so I want to give you guys an update on Adventure 23 that we didn't know was happening when we set the adventure, when God gave us the title, the theme for the year. But he knew. He's good at that. He knew. We had a little tiny hiccup with the city this week, but we're working through it. I think it was my fault, if I'm being honest. So we worked that out. I talked with the senior planner. We're working that out, and we hope to hear a positive approval from them this week. You know, and then of course we have to get the fire inspection and the occupancy permit. There's still some steps, but right now it's looking very positive for us to move to that front building, if you didn't hear last week, on the same property. So we'll see what God does. I'm not closing any doors right now. I'm just saying, God, whatever you open, I'm just going to keep walking, you know. Whatever you open, I'm going to keep walking. And if you close it, I won't fall apart. I'll just be like, okay, that wasn't the one, you know? And that's a good place to be. We're having a moving day this Wednesday, starting around 9 o'clock. But for those of you who work, if you want to come at any point during the day, if you want to come at 4 o'clock, text me. Or later, you know, later in the day, text me or someone else who might be here to say, are you still working? Because we don't know for sure how long it's going to take. And I would hate for you to come out if we're done. But that's our plan. We did get permission from the owner to store everything in that facility over there. So, whoop, whoop, whoop. That's a blessing because we don't have to pay more than $500 to have moving pods brought here and then sent away to, you know, to store away until we're ready for them. So we're just going to store, we're actually going to roll everything right across from this door to the back door of that building over there. So hallelujah for that. Obviously, we need as many people on Wednesday as possible. Yeah, I'm going to do something, okay? Hope it's okay. All the girls know what this is. Okay. That is so much better. Don't much care what I look like right now. Sorry. So if you don't want to look at me, just close your eyes. It's all good. It's all good. We do need as many people as possible on Wednesday. My kids were so bummed because they wanted to help, which I thought was so sweet. But one is in Germany and one is in Tennessee, so. And the other one has two young children and he doesn't have many spare moments in his life. So. But if you can come, that would be great. We're going to look into the possibility of maybe hiring a couple of guys to help us, strong bodies. But we'll see what we need and how it goes. But keep the mentality that God has a good plan. We'll talk about it today a little bit. But God has a good plan. I really hope to tell you today where we're going to meet next week. But it can't happen, sadly. So it's super important. I've stressed it the last few weeks, but I'm stressing it again. It's super important that if you're not on our email list and you want to be, fill out one of those cards before you leave that are on the back there and say, I want to get your emails. If you don't want to do that, just go to our website, www.oakriverchurch.com. Right? It's not hard. So go to one of those places to get information. I hope to have something by at the latest Wednesday of where we're meeting on Sunday. It'll be a temporary location until we get everything sorted out in the new building or in the other building. But stay tuned. If you don't do internet like my mom, if you don't do internet, God love her, she functions completely off the grid. if you are like that, then find a buddy today and say, will you call me or can I call you with updates? We need to stay more connected than ever during this time, not less connected. We need to be super intentional about being connected during this time, okay? So I want to encourage you to do that. Also, if you did bring an offering today, before I forget, because I will later, the offering boxes are taped over because of many reasons. So if you want to drop an offering in that little box right there on that black table, that's where it goes today, different than usual, okay? And nobody's going to smack your hand if you want to do that, just saying. So, if you're feeling emotional, you're not alone. I'm fighting through it. It's so strange, isn't it? We've been in this building for 15 years, and a lot of babies have been born in that time, and a lot of people have graduated to heaven in that time. Dear, dear, dear ones, you know. So today we're going to talk about places of promise and what the Word shows us about endings and beginnings. How we function through endings and beginnings, okay? So first, of course, we'll talk about endings. And there really are a lot of passages in Scripture that talk about endings. It's interesting, if you ever want to look it up, it's fascinating. Because God gives us strategies, methods, coping skills on how to deal with endings. We're going to start in Exodus 34 for our purposes today, verses 5 through 12. And I'm reading from the easy-to-read version. It says this, "Then Moses, the Lord's servant, died there in the land of Moab. The Lord had told Moses this would happen. He, God, buried Moses in Moab. This was in the valley across from Beth Peor, but even today, no one knows exactly where Moses' grave is." Can I just pause and say, wow, God buried Moses? Like, that is astounding. "Moses was 120 years old when he died. He was as strong as ever, and his eyes were still good." Woo, I need that favor. The reading glasses are annoying. "The Israelites cried for Moses for 30 days. They stayed in the Jordan Valley in Moab until the time of sadness was finished. Moses had put his hands on Joshua and appointed him to be the new leader. Then Joshua, son of Nun," not son of N-O-N-E, but son of a person named Nun, "was filled with the spirit of wisdom. So the Israelites began to obey Joshua, and they did what the Lord had commanded Joshua. Israel never had another prophet like Moses. The Lord knew Moses face to face. The Lord sent Moses to do powerful miracles in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh and all his officers and all the people in Egypt saw those miracles. No other prophet ever did as many powerful and amazing things as Moses did for the Israelites to see." You know what I love about this passage? So many things. I love, though, the way Moses is talked of. I love that he is spoken of with such honor. You know, God could have said, that guy that led you through the desert made a big mistake when he told the water to come out of the rock instead of hitting the rock or vice versa. He didn't listen, so he's not able to. No, he didn't do that. He didn't point out his flaws. He spoke of him with honor. And I just appreciate that. And I think when we're going through an ending time, it's important that we honor the gifts of God from the past. We honor that. We look at it and we say, thank you, God, for the miracles. Thank you for the people that you've brought, some to stay and some to get healed and move on to another place, some to be sent out. But we thank you and we honor you, God, for all of those people. I love that he was spoken of in such respectful tones, you know, and loved tones. I also love that they remembered the amazing things that God did. I think it would really be good for us to, in our conversations, talk about our favorite memories from this place. That is part of a healthy ending, is to look at it and go, wow, look what God did there. Look what God did over here. Look, like let's talk about it and really enjoy it, you know? Let's honor that. I also appreciate the fact that it says they mourned for Moses for 30 days, and then when the time of sadness ended, they moved on. We don't know how long that time was. The scripture doesn't say. And I really don't think, from my experience with grief, I don't think that means when the time of sadness ended, they stopped being sad. I don't think that. I think it was more like there was a God in his kindness said, here's a time period I want to give you that you can just focus on your grief. Focus on your sadness. It's okay. And then at the end of that, I don't think he said, okay, no more being sad. I don't think so at all. I think he said, okay, now that time has been set aside. It's time for a new season. You're still going to have moments of sadness. You're going to have days of sadness. You're going to have maybe even longer than that of sadness, but it's a new season. You know? I'm amazed at God's ways. I was reading in my devotional reading this week, and in one chapter, five different times, the writer said, because of the kindness of God, da, 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 da. Huh. And it really, you know how when you see something repeated in scripture, you go, oh, and you notice it, God's giving you a chance to see something there. And I feel like we don't really honor the kindness of God enough. And I just see so much kindness of God in this ending. I also notice on point B that we need to remove the limits of the old ways and places. So here's the thing. We cherish them. We thank God for them, but we don't put God in that box and say, okay, if you're ever going to move again in the future, it has to look like this, God. Because it wasn't like that for them. It wasn't like that at all for them. That season was ending. The season when God dropped food from heaven for them. Literally. He dropped food in good taste, sweet, as I understand it. That's right down my alley. I'm a Southern girl, so sweet food is all. That's good, you know. He provided through miracles water out of unusual places. He turned bitter water into sweet water. Like, he did this, but that season was ending. That's not to say he couldn't do those same things in the next season. Not at all. God's big. He can do whatever he wants. But there was a season that changed there. He supernaturally led them where to go and when to go. Kind of like what we're doing right now. I told the elders yesterday, I said, looks like we're going to follow the cloud for a bit. In our case, it's going to be an electronic cloud where we communicate. But in those days, there was a literal cloud that when it moved, they would go, oh, it's time to move. Now, camping for 40 years? Yikes. I can't even camp for one night without complaining. 40 years, right? I have a lot of grace and compassion for them who complained in the desert, because I'm just saying, I would be too. But imagine every time the cloud moved, they knew it was time to move. The pillar of fire by night. But I find it interesting that even in the desert, what do you need during the day? You need shade, which is a cloud, y'all. Have you ever been on the beach? And then this one cloud, when I lived in Florida for a while, well, for 7 years, I would be on the beach soaking up some sun because I was in college, and that's what you do in college. You don't study, you soak up sun. Since I don't drink, that's what I did. I soaked up sun. And I would be laying there, and I'd be like, oh, it's hot. It's really hot. And then over there, I would see this cloud. And I would be like, oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. And with my eyes closed, I could feel it when the cloud got over me because the heat, whew, was relieved for a moment, you know? God provided comfort in the desert. Pillar of fire by night. What do you need in the desert at night? You need warmth. It gets cold in the desert, in case you didn't know. Very cold, usually. I love that he provided those comforts for them. But you see, they were going into a new season. We see no mention of the cloud or the pillar of fire by night again when they went into the new season. That was ending. They had no physical battles in the desert. Their battles were all in their minds, right? That's a pretty big battle. If you can conquer that one, you can deal with the enemy later. The only battle that almost happened ended up being drowned. So that really wasn't a battle. They never had to fight. Red Sea, you know. Ooh, remember? Okay, so that's endings. Now let's look at beginnings. Point two, beginnings. This is immediately following that passage. Joshua 1, 5 through 9 says this, "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. No one will be able to stop you all your life. I will not abandon you. I will never leave you." This is God talking to Joshua. "Joshua, you must be strong and brave. You must lead these people so that they can take their land. I promised their fathers that I would give them this land, but you must be strong and brave about obeying the commands my servant Moses gave you. If you follow his teachings exactly, you will be successful in everything you do." Again, notice that honor and respect given to Moses. I love that. "Always remember what is written in that book of the law. Speak about that book and study it day and night. Then you can be sure to obey what is written there. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything you do." Verse 9, "Remember, I commanded you to be strong and brave." How many times in that short passage? At least three that I can remember. Three. "Don't be afraid, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Point A under beginnings, be strong and brave. So I give that charge to you today regarding our next place. Be strong and brave. We're going to need a lot of strength on Wednesday, physical strength, but we're going to need some internal strength all through the process. We're going to need it. You know, when you know what you need, you can prepare yourself for it, right? The hardest times in my life have been when something hit me out of nowhere where I couldn't prepare. But if I have a little bit of time to prepare, I can kind of, for lack of a better word, psych myself up for it. And I feel like this is what God is doing with Joshua. Be strong and brave. Also, point B, maintain confidence in God's presence. I love that it says, don't be afraid because you're strong. Nope. Don't be afraid because you're so good. Nope. Don't be afraid because everything's going to go your way. Nope. No, it says, don't be afraid because God himself is with you. That's how we can know not to be afraid. Because God himself is with us. That gives me confidence in him. It gives me such confidence in him. This week, more than once, I was like, God, come on, can you just move this along a little bit? I've had a few situations in the last 3 months that I'm not going to go into today, but I've had to wait. And I'm like, God, come on. I have this plan. It's good. He goes, yeah, you didn't clear that through me, though. Come on, okay. My sister and I were talking about it yesterday, I think it was. And she was saying in college, she told the Lord, because she had this big decision she had to make. And she told the Lord, she said, Lord, if you would just write it down for me, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Just write it down. Yeah, and I'm like that. I need things clear, you know. I'm a little slow maybe or whatever, but I just need things clear. And then I'll do it. Whatever he says, I'll do it. And when she told me that, I imagined God up in heaven laughing and going, yeah, I tried that, honey, called the Ten Commandments. It didn't work out so well. It didn't fly so well. I'm not saying we don't love the Ten Commandments. I'm saying, look what happened when they were given. Moving on, Joshua 3, 1 through 4. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites got up and left Acacia. They traveled to the Jordan River and camped there before they crossed it. After 3 days, the leaders went through the camp. They gave orders to the people. When you see the Levite priest carrying the box of the agreement of the Lord your God, follow them. But do not follow too closely. Stay about 1,000 yards behind them. You have not been here before. But if you follow them, you will know where to go. The point under beginnings on that one that I noticed was follow the leaders as they carry God's presence and power. Follow the leaders. We have some good leaders here. I am so thankful this church is not built on a single personality. Me. I don't have enough personality to begin with for it to be built on. But I love that this church has a whole team of leaders. And they hear from the Lord. They carry his presence. They carry his power. So when you start feeling like, oh, what are we doing? What's going to happen to Oak River? I want you to reach out to one of the leaders, me or Dave or one of the elders or whoever God brings to your mind and say, okay, I need some encouragement. What are we doing? Where are we going? What's happening? There's so much peace in that and confidence. And I want you to know the box of the agreement that it talks about did not carry God's presence. That wasn't their understanding. No, that box was a reminder. It carried some reminders of miracles in the days gone by. But the more important part was wherever the box was is where they knew they could encounter God. That's where they encountered God. So when the leaders carried the box of the agreement, or the Ark of the Covenant, you might have heard it called, that was representative. Okay, if the box is here, I know I can get close to that and have an encounter with God. So wherever it went, that's where they went. And of course, the leaders carried that. Joshua 3:5. Then Joshua told the people, make yourselves pure. Tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among us. And I was like, yikes. I can't make myself pure. How does that work? Really, I was overwhelmed when I read that. Make yourselves pure? I need Jesus to make me pure. They didn't really have an understanding of the cross, obviously, at that point. So I dug into it. You know what it means? It doesn't mean make yourself without flaw. What it means is be intentional about coming close to the sacred and eliminate unholy things. That's what it means. So if you spend time watching something on TV that you know inside is not good for you, then I want you to, as we go into this new beginning, I want you to eliminate that for a season, maybe forever, and come close to the sacred. Come close. So when you would have done something normal, maybe find a way to engage with the Lord, encounter him, either through worship or through reading or through meeting with someone and talking about him. I get so encouraged when I meet with someone in community and they just tell me what's going on in their lives spiritually. I'm like, whoo, it builds my faith, you know? So that's what, as we go into this new beginning, make yourselves pure by coming close to the sacred. I should be using the cross as the sacred, I guess. Coming close to the sacred and eliminating any unholy thing that God brings to your heart. I'm not going to tell you what that is. Let the Lord do it. The Holy Spirit is the great convictor, not me. You know? But then have faith that the Lord is going to do amazing things among us in the coming weeks, in the coming months. I come into agreement with what Doug said at the beginning of the message. It might be smaller, our next location. It might not be, but it might be smaller, but it's going to be bigger. It might look smaller, but it's going to be bigger. I feel it in my heart. I don't know how to, it doesn't make sense even. But I know it in my spirit. I know it. Joshua 3, 13 through 17. The priest will carry the holy box of the Lord. He is the Lord of the whole world. They will carry that box in front of you into the Jordan River. When they enter the water of the Jordan River will stop flowing and fill behind that place like a dam. They had to think, deja vu. Wait, didn't this happen 40 years ago? Or didn't we at least hear about it from our parents from 40 years ago? The priests carried the box of the agreement and the people left the place they had camped. The people started going across the Jordan River. During harvest time, the Jordan River overflows its banks, so the river was at its fullest. The priests who were carrying the box came to the shore of the river when they stepped into the water, not before then. I mean, it would have been so much better in my mind if the water had parted and then they had stepped in. Because if I'm one of the ones at the front, I'd be like, help. But no, they had to take the step of faith before the waters backed up for them. Immediately, the water stopped flowing and piled up like a wall. The water piled up a long way up the river, all the way to Adam, a town near Zarethan. And the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. The people crossed the river near Jericho. The ground at that place became dry, and the priest carried the box of the agreement of the Lord to the middle of the river and stopped. They waited there while all the Israelites walked across the Jordan River on dry land. My last point on beginnings for today is expect miracles. Expect miracles. I don't know what they're going to look like. God's so much bigger than my ability to comprehend him. But expect miracles. I feel like we've already had some, but I think we're going to have more and more in the future. So just expect miracles. But pause long enough to enjoy them. Pause long enough to recognize them. And then talk about them to each other. Talk about them to each other. Encourage each other with that. So yes, remember the good times, the hard times, and what we learned through them. Remember all that. But anticipate that wherever we land, it's going to look different and it's going to feel different. When I was a sophomore in high school, my dad was pastoring a church of about 125, and we were meeting in this small building, and we were crammed in there. And there was so much momentum from it because we were crammed in there. And then while I was in high school, he really oversaw the building of a new facility along with a bunch of volunteers at the church. I put in insulation in that building. Every time I drive by it now, I go, I put insulation in that church, you know, it's kind of fun. But when we got in there, a church that held 250 and 125 people, all I could hear people saying was, this feels different. This feels so different. I don't know if I like it. It's different. It's in the South. They don't do well with change. They really don't. This feels different. I don't know. You know? And I'm like, it's gorgeous. What are you talking about? Like, it's beautiful. And we have room now to grow. And people can come and join us and be part of something big. And they had the hardest time making that transition. So I want to pull on that experience now and tell you in advance, wherever we land, it's going to feel different. It's going to. Don't complain to me. I love you, but I might smack you. I might love you enough to smack you. I'm just saying. But celebrate the differences. I believe this is a chance for a new beginning for us. As much as I've kind of kicked and screamed all the way, I still feel like it's a chance for a new beginning, a resetting. Remember the reset button we had one year? The resetting. I believe that. And then, of course, we're going to treasure those who are in heaven waiting for us. We're going to. Just because we're moving from one location to another doesn't mean those people are forgotten. they will never be forgotten. They are very much alive in the fabric of our church. Let's live in a way they can cheer us on. Really, let's imagine them in the grandstands of heaven going, "Go, you can do it, you can do it. You're doing great. It's gonna be good." Honor the gifts of God from the past, people and miracles. Remove the limits of the old ways and places in the endings. In the beginnings, be strong and brave. Maintain confidence in God's presence, no fear. Follow the leaders as they carry God's presence and power. Be intentional about coming close to the sacred. Expect miracles. We're gonna have communion today. And I used this video that I'm going to use today, I think 4 weeks ago, but I felt like the Lord really wanted me to do it again. So, I'll do it again. It's a song by Amanda Cook called "There's Nothing." There's nothing that can separate us from His love. If you want to participate in communion while the video's going, just get up and move to one of the sides and pick up your little cup, and then bring it back to your chair and sit, and we'll take it all together at some point after everybody has gotten something.
Could separate us from your love? Is there anything, anything? What could be more final than your blood? Is there anything, anything? There's nothing, nothing, nothing. There's nothing, nothing, nothing. There's no hiding, there's no, there's no power of hell, no scheme of that. There's nothing.
Don't you get so much comfort from that? There's nothing that can separate you from God's love. I ask them to leave that going while we have communion today. Pick up your cracker. If you want to break it, break it. But most of all, recognize what it represents. The body of Christ that was willingly and joyfully, it says, broken, so that we can experience wholeness. Wholeness. God, we thank you for this little cracker, seed-free, gluten-free. We thank you for it. And all it represents to us, that you allowed your son to be shattered so that we could be whole. We thank you for that. Let's take the bread together. Such a common thing we hold, a little cup of juice. But it's sacred. It's sacred because of what it represents. It reminds us that God allowed the son of his blood to be spilled in a horrible, painful way, horribly painful way, so that he could have his kids back. So that he could have relationship with us, friendship with us. That's why it's so dramatic when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And for the first time in all of history, Jesus told them to approach God as our Father. Not, oh, great creator. Not, oh, mighty one of Israel. No, our Father. Because of this, we can come alongside Jesus and say, our Father, our Dad. God, we thank you for this juice. We recognize the extreme value of it. And we say thank you. We say thank you that we can have such a relationship with you that you can call us your friends. We thank you for that. We remember. Let's drink the juice together. We couldn't not have corporate communion our final Sunday. I'm like, we got to have corporate communion. So next week, wherever we are, we will let you know in our email and we will post it on our website. And I hope you make an effort to come wherever we are. We're probably going to be in a temporary location next week is what I foresee. So we'll see what God does. And we will continue this series, Places of Promise, with something we're calling Fuller Second Life. We had Full Life last week, Endings and Beginnings today, Fuller Second Life next week. And if you are interested, I put it in the email, a link that if you want to have a t-shirt that says the church has left the building, we thought that would be fun. So I ordered mine already. If you want one, the link is on there on the email how to do it. And before we go, I'm feeling nostalgic, so I want to take pictures a little bit of y'all. So, ready? Smile. And then if you want to take some selfies, let's get our guest in there. Okay. And then here, the way the light is casting down, it's actually quite beautiful. If you want to get some selfies in, get some selfies before you go to remember our little ending here and enjoy it and value it. And then after you're done taking selfies or before or during, enjoy some coffee, the best coffee ever, Basement Roast Coffee, and some bagels and some chats. And I think the puzzle is almost finished. So we gotta finish the puzzle before we go today, okay? And give somebody an extra hug today. Love you guys. Thanks for coming.